What's up, everybody? We are back with season two of the Lion Speaks podcast, and I'm your host, Mufasa T. Leon. I'm so excited to get into it. It's been a while. Excited to get back into it, have these great discussions about perspective and different things like that. So today, we're going to get into the difference between a boss and a leader. Okay, we're going to dive into those different aspects and characteristics. All right, we've all know what it looks like. We've all know what it smells like. We've all seen and worked for people who are bosses, and we've seen and worked for people who are leaders. So in a minute, we're going to take a deep dive into that aspect, and stay tuned. Now, what's a leader and what's a boss? They come in all shapes and sizes. They come in different packages. They come, you know, some you love, some you hate. Some leaders you love, some leaders you hate. Most bosses you hate, some bosses you love. It's just a matter of taste and where you work, and depending on what you do and what kind of expectations and standards you have from working for somebody. You know, being in the military for almost 10 years, I can tell you I've come across my fair share of bosses and leaders. And even myself have been in those roles. And it's definitely different. You know, I definitely think they're mutually exclusive. That's just my opinion. But I also think that the way we define a boss and a leader can definitely be subjective. You know, there's no necessarily textbook way of saying, okay, this is a boss, this is a leader. It all depends on what you define or what you think a leader or a boss is to you. But for one, I can tell you, depending on your profession or your occupation, they affect you in different ways. You know, I saw an article. This website called Key Differences by this guy named Serby He. This is written back in 2017. Okay, it's talking about the difference between a leader and a boss. And it was very profound to me in a lot of ways because I've seen this firsthand. Like I said, being in the military. You know, and really, whether or not you're in the military doesn't really matter. I mean, mission is mission, goal is a goal. Everyone has some kind of standard or goal to meet, and there are ways to getting there. And what's going to matter is how effective your boss or your leader gets you to reaching those goals. So we're going to talk about that. So from what this person says about being a boss and a leader is that there exists a line of demarcation amidst the nature and characteristics of these two personalities. While a boss gives orders to his employees, a leader influences his followers, his or her followers, by setting an example. All right, so what does that mean to you? I mean, a leader can influence, you know, persuade the people under he or her to act in a specific manner, achieve certain goals. You know, a boss, in contrast, can be acknowledged as a leader by guiding people in their task and demonstrating his or her abilities. All right, so many people have broken down bosses and leaders and written many books and, you know, come up with all these different scientific and philosophical ways that they believe defines a leader or a boss. You know, I suggest anybody that's looking for a good leadership reference, Todd Durkin. This guy I follow on Instagram, Todd Durkin. He has seminars and things like that. He's one of those, he has a trademark called Get Your Mind Right. He's a really good example of someone that I say that sets a clear difference between the two. He's one. And there's other people, but that's the one that came to mind. So, so we're talking about the definition of a boss. So, Once again, I say it's subjective, of course, but to me, a boss is like a individual that's in charge, put in position to be in charge of an organization or an employee, right? People report to the boss, right? The immediate supervisor of the workforce, right? He or she exercises control over the employees, the orders, assigned tasks, says, you do this, assigns duties, and makes decisions that matter. Top of the food chain, right? Every organization has like a chain of command, right? You have like your managers, you have your supervisors, your managers, your lead managers, or lead this, lead that, or you have your CEO, which is usually who's usually at the top. Like even in like in a sports terms, you know, you have your like you have your head coach, you have your GM. Then at the top you have the business owner, the one that actually owns all that actually owns the team. You know, in the military, same thing. You know, like in the Navy specifically, like our chain of command is like from the top. You got the chief of naval operations, which is like the top admiral of the Navy, and then under him, you have the Master Chief Petty Officer of Navy, who's like the senior enlisted liaison between the enlisted and the wardroom. Like, it's just like everything boils down to a chain, essentially. You know, in every military installation has these units that have their own chain. You know, a commanding officer who's in charge of that command. Specific command, or even small ones who have officers in charge who are in charge of that small command, you know, and it's all based on the chain. Even getting smaller than that, you have your immediate workplace, you have someone that's over that workplace or that department or that division, you know. So boss, like from an organizational standpoint, is order, you know. It's an appointed person who's been put in a position of authority over subordinates, over a certain, over people. pretty much that's what the boss is. Now, leader, on the other hand, it's more of an ability, you know, an ability to influence and inspire people to accomplish these goals. So, like, sometimes a leader can be someone that's not a boss, you know, but that holds a authoritative position and leads by example, you know, who has a vision, who's committed to a goal. And not to say that a boss isn't committed to a goal, but the way that a leader and a boss are committed to goals can be different. You know, a boss might be committed to a goal more from a organizational standpoint, and a leader can be committed to a goal more from an inspirational standpoint, kind of drawing out different aspects from their employees in different ways. But a leader sets an example in such a way that gets people to follow his or her lead and gets them motivated, you know, with foresight, communication, and influence, and responsibility, accountability, things like that, right? So we're looking at, based on what I've seen, like I said, I've seen my share. I've seen situations where you'll have someone put in a position of authority who doesn't necessarily know how to be a leader. The problem in a lot of ways with the military is that the military expects everyone to be a leader at some point. Not everyone, but in the real world, not everyone's purpose in life is to be a leader. You know, some people's purpose is to serve, some people's purpose is to this and that. That's why not everyone is always fit to be a leader. Anybody can be a boss. You know, anyone can be, now, an effective boss, that's different. Anyone can be a boss. You know, anyone's capable of of being appointed, if you work hard enough, appointed a position of authority. But having a leadership quality is something that can be a gift. You know, you can be born a leader. Or you can be born a leader if you're not necessarily born a... If you can be born a leader, not necessarily know how to be one and refine those skills by learning from a leader and learning how to serve and learning how to refine those skills and experience how to effectively deal with people. One of the biggest things that I see that a lot of people who, you know, proclaim themselves as leaders, or a lot of people that the military deems as leaders, lack is how to communicate effectively with people, with different people. You know, it's difficult, of course, because different people have different personalities and things like that, but communication is key to being an effective leader. You know, a lot of people don't understand how to get the best out of people by talking to them. You know, it could go a long way asking somebody how their day is going on, how their family is doing, without getting too personal, you know. And in terms of leadership, there's this article I saw on Forbes, actually. This was written back in 2016 by a guy named Jeff Boss. I think he was a former SEAL. All right, and basically he says, and I quote, true leaders aren't average people. The average person doesn't choose to swim upstream while others swiftly float downstream or zig when others choose to zag. But having the courage, character, and confidence to enter the abysmal unknown and create value personally and organizationally for others is exactly what constitutes leadership and exactly what defines them as leaders. You know, end quote. So you think about leadership and how influence plays a big role, and how motivation plays a big role, and how getting the best out of people who work around you. You know, being a boss is all about people working for you, but being a leader is about people working with you. You know, see how different that is? Acknowledging that, okay, I'm in charge and you guys work for me, so you do what I say. I'm your boss, you report to me. If I tell you to go do something, do it. As opposed to, hey, I need you to do this so we can do this. Or, hey, this is our goal. This is our mission. How can I get the best out of you so that we do this effectively? How can we do this together? Boom. Oh, I run through a wall for this person. But the motivation to grow and become a better version of yourself is a choice. You know, leadership gives more leeway to give people the decision to choose to be the best version of themselves. As you know, the boss is more like you're required to be the way I want you to be, because that is a standard I've set. You can set standards as a leader. You can say, look, this is what I expect from you, and hold people accountable for those expectations. But you almost take the responsibility on yourself if they don't meet those expectations in a way that reflects your leadership, you know. And that's another catch-22 about the military, is like anything that people who work with you or for you do is a reflection of your leadership. So for example, it could be something that has nothing to do with you, that you had no idea about, but because that person worked for you, it's your responsibility. Like, for example, you know, Timmy goes out. You know, you have a brief on Friday, like, hey, everybody, this weekend, it's a holiday weekend. Okay? make sure you don't go out and get drunk this weekend. All right. Or be careful. Have a plan. There's going to be a lot of people that's going to be drinking and driving. Be careful. Be mindful. Okay. Timmy heard that brief. Everybody heard that brief. But Timmy decides to go out and get drunk anyway. Right? Somehow, even though Timmy gets drunk, Timmy gets in trouble, you take the proper steps, you know what I mean, Monday morning, you're getting screamed at because Timmy decided to go drink. Now, of course, it's going to trickle down because you're going to scream at Timmy for deciding to go drink. Because you expected, your standard was for Timmy to listen and understand that the holiday weekend was going to be unsafe. And if he chose to drink and drive, he's going to put somebody's life in danger. And by Timmy looking you in your eye and acknowledging that he heard you loud and clear, you expected him and trusted him to follow through with that. So that's that catch 22 I'm talking about. So, this guy, Jeff, he has 5 different leadership lessons learned that he got from the military. And how, like, he also factored this in the civilian world when he got out. And, you know, like, this is not exclusive necessarily, because leadership can apply to all, whether you're military or not. This is just my perspective, because I'm in the military. All right, so number one, yesterday doesn't count, right? You know, like, they have the saying, this term in the NFL, right, for quarterbacks, right, short-term memory, right? If you're a quarterback in the NFL, you throw a pick, you immediately forget about it and move on to the next play. Why? Because if you dwell on that interception or that turnover, then now it's in your head mentally, and it will affect you going forward. You can't be the best version of yourself going forward because you're still worried about that interception that you threw. Or in basketball, or in soccer, or any kind of sport, or any kind of occupational profession, you make a mistake, you typo on a report, or you fat finger some numbers and it messes something financially up, and now you're like, oh crap, I screwed this up. That was yesterday. You fix it and you move forward. You know, he gives an example where he's talking about when he was training at Bud's, right? And the motto that he learned was, the only easy day was yesterday. And that means yesterday was easy because it's over. Now you have today to focus on and worry about. And this depends on the perspective that you choose. So you choose whether you want to dwell on yesterday or you want to focus on today. Whatever mistake you made in the past doesn't mean anything today. A lot of times, we live life on impressions. A lot of times people live life based on impressions. You know, you can be dang near perfect individual, right? And then your yesterday becomes today. You have some issue that you had in the past, or as a matter of fact, no, I switch that up. You can used to be a perfect and dang near perfect individual, right? And you mess up, right? Today's a new day. You messed up in the past, but for a lot of people, you're remembered for whatever you did in the past and not for what you did today. It's also another catch-22. Sometimes you have people that have short-term memory in terms of impressions of you, where their first impression of you is a lasting impression, and they're always going to think, okay, this is who you are. Or you have some people that, even if they have a bad first impression of you, give you that chance to kind of prove yourself different to about who you are to them, right? So no matter how good or bad last quarter's earnings, to be example, they're gone, right? No matter what you did in the past, no matter what mistake you made yesterday, that was yesterday. There's nothing you can do about that. Even if sometimes it can affect today or affect the future, you know, sometimes these yesterdays can affect things in the future, but you kind of have to move forward in order to go forward. You got to take that first step. All right. And this is all about leadership. So, you know, there was a goal that was supposed to be met and it wasn't met in a certain time, or there's certain things that kind of hindered that goal a little bit. Move to the next goal or move to the next task, you know, and try to or fix it and move to the next task. All right, it's not always going to be hunky dory or exactly the way you want it. Sometimes some wins are ugly wins and gritty wins. They're not always perfect, but it's those effective leaders that know how to work around those things and be effective, even when the pressure is on them, even when everything looks like it's going to be crappy. Right. So number two, prioritize yourself. You can't manage and lead others until you know how to manage and lead yourself. Right. This goes to lead by example. Right. So I'm put in a position of authority, or if I'm put in a position to where I'm asked to lead a office or a unit or a detail of individuals, I have to look the part, right? I can't tell somebody, hey, you, like, why does your hair look like you just woke up out of bed and I haven't touched mine in 3 weeks? Or, you know, why are you coming in late every day when I'm walking in the door with you? You know what I mean? It's all about looking at yourself first. You can't take care of anybody else unless you take care of yourself first. Yourself comes first at all times. You know what I mean? And it's unpopular. I get it. People say, oh, well, you're supposed to put others above yourself. And you are. But look, think about the context, right? You know, denying yourself, like being humble, being vulnerable, you know, that's different than saying, okay, I need to be in the right state of mind so that I can better control a situation to where I can help someone else, right? So, for example, if you're out on a battlefield and you get shot in both your legs, how are you going to get up and drag somebody else that's been shot if you can't treat, you know, your own wounds? You know what I mean? There's a reason why they give us our own everyone gets at least 2 medical kits, right? So it says you can't manage or lead others until you know how to manage with yourself, right? So it's all about making the right personal choices to serve in that role. Being a boss, you know, a lot of times a lot of bosses aren't asked to be examples. They're just, their main role is just to point in a direction. And in a lot of ways, it gratifies themselves. You know, some bosses need their ego stroked for some reason. And they feel like having that ego makes them bigger than what they are. I've seen that before, you know, where people are put in these positions, you know, as bosses, and they're not leading, they're not inspiring, they're not getting the best of people, but their face is all over everything. You know, they're getting credit, or they're getting, well, it's amazing what you did with this workstation or this office or whatever. But in all actuality, they haven't really inspired, and you know, they haven't really inspired anyone. Those people don't like that boss. Just doing what that boss says out of fear or out of intimidation, or things like that. You know, which an argument can be made. A lot of organizations founded in America was based on that fear, that same fear and intimidation, you know, or fear of getting fired, or fear of failing, or fear of losing money. You know, livelihood is a big motivator. So he says, if exercise is important to you, but you find every excuse to avoid it, it's time to do 2 things. Redefine your values and make exercise part of your routine. You know, a lot of people find different, that's a good example. People find different ways to make excuses not to go exercise or workout, right? What are your values? You know, if you look in the mirror and you hate what you see, do something to change it. You know, if you walk into a workstation as a leader or a unit or occupation as a leader and you see something that you don't like, you know, how can you inspire others to get in line with your vision to change those things or make those things better? You know, the most successful people don't pencil in exercises when those opportunities open, but they open those windows themselves by scheduling their workouts in a daily routine, right? And your routine doesn't always work the way you want it to work, but sometimes working around that routine, always having a backup plan, also works because you're always prepared. So every day counts, all right? You have to prioritize yourself, all right? Number 3, strive to be better, all right? So he's talking about every week in Buds for 6 glorious months, we conducted a 2-mile time ocean swim where each student was paired with a swim buddy. In the off chance that the swim pair were to encounter a shark or other reptilian force of nature, the plan was to stab your swim buddy and then swim like hell the opposite direction. But, I mean, obviously not. That was a joke. But being the fastest swim in the water didn't matter. What mattered was being faster than the guy next to you. All right, so the takeaway here is to have identifiable benchmarks for how you're going to do against competition, right? You know, every industry has competition. You know, all these different companies, Amazon, Netflix, all these different companies compete with each other. You know, Disney streaming, Disney, Fox, Sony, whatever the company is, they all compete, right? And a lot of people aren't sure what competition looks like, you know, in the sports world. You know, as a leader, how do you inspire others to compete at the level that you want to compete at, or to compete at the level? That's the hard thing about being a coach, you know, is getting people to buy into a culture, to buy into a vision, and to compete based on that vision. That's why the Patriots are always so dang successful. You know, I mean, I'm a Jets fan, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sick of it, but I respect them because their model is so effective. You know, their head coach, Bill Belichick, brings out the best in these Joe Schmoes who otherwise wouldn't be Jack if they were somewhere else. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Most of these guys that go to other places really don't do much. And then they either come right back or they're out of the league in a couple years. There's very few that have gone to other places that have actually been really good or played to the level they played to while they're in the, or on the Patriots. But, like, his big thing is what? Do your job, right? You know, so he's one of the very few examples of a boss. He has some qualities of a boss and some qualities of a leader. He's been put in an authoritative position to lord over a team of people and get them in the best position to win, but also inspiring them to be the best version of themselves by having structure, by having order, by having discipline, by having these different things that make them want to be the best version of themselves. People come there and talk about it all the time. You don't really hear anybody say anything bad about the Patriots. Rarely. They might not like a lot of the ways that Bill Belichick does things, but, I mean, he didn't win all these Super Bowls for nothing. Being a boss, he won those by being a leader. All those people, that team that plays for him, won those by him being a leader, by being influenced by him and motivated by him to pull out of games that they definitely should have lost. So, like, how do you get the best out of people? How do you strive to be better as a leader, and then get people that work with you or for you to believe that they can strive to be better? That's the hard part. You can believe all you want that you can, that you're the best at this, that, and the third, but how do you convince someone who feels like they're at the end of their rope, who feels like someone that just got in trouble? How do you convince someone that just got in trouble or lost their home, lost a family member, filed for bankruptcy, breakup, divorce, death in the family, just got fired? How do you convince that person to be the best version of themselves in spite of that? And that starts with you. That starts with those characteristics that make you a great leader. That inspiration, that motivation to say, despite what you think you are, I think you're this. And what can I do to get you to think that you're this? To get you to believe that you're this? In a lot of ways, we compete with ourselves. Alright, so number 4, hire for fit. Right? So, in the occupational field, you know, he says that too often hiring managers look for the brightest, shiniest ball of competence in their applicants, such as someone that just recently got their master's degree who fits nicely, or, you know, someone who has great skill but doesn't have any will. You know, like, you see it in a lot of places, like, people hire for personality. you know, like especially in marketing, like, oh, you're an attractive person, you'll pull in some numbers because you look good and people want to see you, not hear you. Or they see that you have a bubbly personality, so they're like, oh, we can gravitate to this person, even though you don't really have any skill whatsoever, you just look the part. Or, you know, you often see like people behind the scenes that don't really get a lot of credit for doing a lot of the big things that matter, but you don't, because they don't have those type of personalities where they're not advertised as much as someone who does have a personality, you see their names roll on the credits really fast and then it's over and then you don't know who the hell that person is, you know. So it's important, like, you know, attribute this to the military, of having the right fit for your workplace, right? You know, knowing who you, I mean, so you can't control in the military who necessarily is assigned there, because everything is billet based and financed, and you know, is a very confusing process. But everything everyone's assigned to a specific workstation, so like it's not necessarily easy to find the right fit. But how do you navigate a fit for someone's strengths and their weaknesses, right? So like, if you know someone's not good at a particular skill and is not getting it, how do you refine those skills while putting them in a position to be good at something, be the best at something that they are good at? For example, right, if I work in administration and I'm good at, I suck at doing correspondence, but I'm good at awards, right, how do I refine my correspondence skills while being amazing at awards, you know? And then once I start to refine those skills, I can jump on correspondence and then someone else can get awards or whatever the case may be. Like, how do you effectively fit the right people into the right role so they can excel? A lot of times I see people in the wrong jobs, you know what I mean, programs that are just completely screwed because people don't necessarily, it's not even always about the skill. Some people might have that skill. Some people might be just good at just doing things, just knocking things out, organizing things and making things look presentable. And then others might not have the skill, but they have the will, they have the want to. I want to do this so bad, I'm just not good at it. And that's when those people need to be surrounded with those people that have the skills. So a leader is not going to be someone that's good at everything. Sometimes bosses think they know everything. They think they know that they can do everything, or they think they act like know-it-alls, but most definitely aren't, and chastise the people who do know because they don't know. They don't want to admit that they don't know. Did I just confuse you? I just confused myself. Lord have mercy. So like as a leader, like how do you take a band of misfits and make them fit? You know, so look, this is what a recipe for success looks like, right? You hire for character, you train for competence, you coach for performance. It's simple, it's effective, and you won't go wrong. All right. And number five, and most importantly, be humble, right? There's nothing worse than a person with authority with an ego. We all have egos, but there's good egos and bad egos, right? There's a kind of egos, there's a kind of arrogance that people like, or you know, it can be attributed to a certain swag or swagger about you, you know? Like, this person's not, like, swag to me is not that crazy arrogance. It's more like a confidence that's a little arrogant, you know what I mean? Like, you know that you're good at, you know that you're the best, and you walk with a certain confidence in yourself, but it's not to the behest of everybody around you. It's not to the detriment to your team around you. So you're not saying I'm better than you and I know it and there's nothing you can do about it. It's more like, I know I'm good at this and I'm going to walk with confidence in what I'm good at. A lot of bosses, on the other hand, walk with this kind of like, I'm the boss, I make the most money, and that's it. You can't tell me anything. And that's it. And that can be dangerous because people underneath that boss can look at that boss and be like, shh, I don't want to work for you. Only reason I'm here is so I don't freaking lose my house. But I wouldn't want to walk from you. If you ask me to risk my life to do something like this, I'm not doing it. You know? We're sworn an oath in the military, you know, to protect and defend. Right? And we chose to do that by taking that oath, by raising our right hand. So a lot of times people struggle with that that value, that moral compass when it comes to actually making that decision live. You know, struggling with their own morality and struggling with their own, like, oh, man, like, I know I signed up for this, but did I sign up for this? Well, yeah, you did. A lot of times we're asked to do things that we don't want to do, right? From our bosses. Hey, you go do this. But it all comes back to how humble is that leader, and how can do you as a subordinate recognize the humility of that leader to where you're like, wow, like, because of the humility of that leader, I'm willing to do whatever that leader wants me to do because I want to for that person. You know, I had to learn that myself, like, early on, where I'm sitting here just trying to tell people what to do and trying to change things and try to blah, 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 blah. And I'm not necessarily understanding and being humble. I'm trying to make myself look good instead of making everyone around me look good. You know, it took me a while to get, like, it's not about me. It's about them. It's about me getting the best out of them. Not necessarily me making myself look good. You know, because the crazy thing about the military, like, you, when it comes, like, up to, from E1 up until about E4, leadership is not even, like, a thing you're evaluated on, because you're not expected to be a leader at that point. On paper, you're not really expected to be a leader, to display your leadership until you're about to E5, you know what I mean? And then that's when those doors start to open. But you don't have to be a certain rank to be a leader. You don't have to be in a certain position to be a leader. That goes back to leader by example. If you have the humility to encourage others, you know, it doesn't, see, humility doesn't mean being passive. People have this misconception about humility being like, oh, you have to be submissive and passive and, you know, subjugate yourself for a greater purpose. You know, you don't have to talk just to show everyone how smart you are. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And once they know how much you care, then they'll see how smart you are. You know, I always tell people that used to work with me all the time, like, I don't know everything. I know I don't know everything. There's a lot of things that you guys know that I don't know. So I'm here to learn those things from you so that we can all get better. And if I learn those things from you, I can better effectively manage how to deal with certain things, right? If I'm in the know. Knowledge is power, right? So, like, if I practice that humility behavior to where I understand that I'm not the best at something, or I understand that I'm not the smartest person in the room, and I can effectively get the best out of people just by being humble. You know, humility doesn't say humility. You know what I mean? Most of the time, you look at a person, if they say, you know, I'll try to be the most humble, I'm the most humble person you'll meet. That's not a humble person. You don't need to say you're humble to be humble. Just be humble. Just like people say, oh, I'm keeping it 100, or I'm as real as you'll ever be. If you're real, why would you need to say you're real? If I can see you're real, then I make that determination about you being real, not you. Because you can say you're real all you want to, and I can think something totally different. So these different characteristics of leaders and bosses, it's almost like you have to kind of pick how you're going to go forward in life and how you want to be led or how you want to serve or how you want to, what way is most effective for you to be successful, right? Whether you're a leader or you're not, everyone is not made to be a leader. Not everyone is. It's not an everyone kind of thing. You know, a boss has employees. Leaders have followers. All right. Like I was saying earlier about fear and intimidation, you know, for a boss. You know, most of the time people respect bosses for their position, not for who they are. I've been there. I've been there where... You know, the military will put people in these authoritative positions and call them leaders when they're actually bosses. And I would respect the authority of that position because I'm required to, but it doesn't make that person a good leader. But a leader earns that respect for his or herself by the conduct and the goodwill and the quality of their character. You follow someone by the content of their character, you know, the integrity of their character. I want to run a wall through wall for that guy or that gal because of their character, because the way they carry themselves, the way they act, the way they react to situations where they're under pressure, the way they get the best out of me, the way they make me believe in myself more than I ever have. You know, a boss is about the numbers, about the bottom line, about the mission, while a leader is about the vision. You know, a boss, we got to do this. Leader, how are we going to do this effectively together? So think about that. Where do you want to be? Do you want to be a boss or be a leader? You know, these days, you know, society has their own definition of what a boss is. So it's like a, you know, oh, that's a boss move right there. Or it's almost like, if you do things to elevate yourself, it's called a boss move. Well, absolutely, because a boss elevates his or herself, right? And it might seem like being a boss is negative, and it's not. You know, a boss can have leadership characteristics, but it's important to understand the difference between the two. You know, there are more leaders than there are bosses for a reason. Because not all bosses can be leaders. Not all bosses can get the best out of the people that work for them. And I remember Dame Dash, producer that, you know, used to produce with Jay-Z when he was on the Breakfast Club a few years ago, talking about being a boss and how it's important to be a boss and own your own stuff, which is good. You know, owning your own is a good thing. It's important to own your own and claim your own and have ownership of what you create in different industries, right? But how do you get there? Do you get there by walking hand in hand with people like Kevin Hart does, taking care of the people and bringing those people along? Or do you get there by stepping over people, screwing people behind their backs and creating opportunities to elevate yourself at the expense of others? How do you make those boss moves? So think about that. Do you want to be a leader or a boss? Can you be both? I'll leave that to you to decide. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Lion Speaks Podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review multimedia outlets like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and others. Until next time, Hakuna Matata.